Gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask that this morning, as we reflect on Jesus as the resurrection and the life, you will convict us with the truth that his tomb was indeed empty, and because of that, life has changed forever. We ask that you'll give us great confidence, the confidence that Jesus gives in knowing that death is not the end and that he will return to call the dead to life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few months ago, when my family was going to see a movie together with the kids, I was surprised to discover that the latest Pixar family kids movie is all about death and life after death. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Coco. Anyone seen it? Not very many. It's about a 12-year-old kid who goes to the land of the dead and meets his ancestors there. And, you know, I thought it was kind of strange, and to be honest, a little bit morbid and creepy, that a popular kids movie with singing and dancing, as these Pixar movies tend to have, would be about that kind of topic. There's even a singing and dancing skeleton. In the end, we decided to watch something else. But I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because the idea of life after death has been a constant fascination for humanity in pretty much every culture ever. And so, of course, it spills out into our movies and our TV shows and our books. You can tell that we humans long for some kind of hope that death is not the end. Aside from examples from pop culture, you can tell by the ideas we come up with to encourage each other in the face of death. You know, he's gone to a better place. She lives on in our hearts. He's looking down on us from heaven. It's almost a universal instinct. It's true for us in our day and age, and it's been true throughout history. Even people who try to kind of reprogram their minds to believe that the physical world is all there is, even they still often grasp for some bigger meaning in life in the face of death. We have this instinctive desire to believe that death is not the end. And the Bible actually tells us that that is a God-given instinct. But, you know, it's one thing to have some kind of hope or some kind of idea that there is more to life. But in the end, that hope has to be connected to reality, right? Otherwise, it's just empty words and false hopes. Otherwise, it's just a pipe dream. Friends, this is where Easter makes all the difference. That first Easter Sunday morning was the moment when the hope for some kind of life beyond death came crashing into the present in a very real and physical way. When Jesus walked out of his tomb, he changed life and death forever. So if we are to have any real hope for life when death seems so final, then it must be connected to those events of that first Easter 2,000 years ago. But it was not long before that first Easter, when the tomb of Jesus was found empty on that Sunday morning, it was not long before that that Jesus himself was standing in front of the very much occupied tomb of his dear friend Lazarus, weeping. It's such a very human scene that we've just read here in John 11, isn't it? One that has been replayed billions of times over across the world and throughout history. A man weeping by the grave of his dear friend. A lot has changed about life between that time and today, but death is still the same. Even after 2,000 years of significant medical advances, death is exactly the same for us as it was for them. It still has a 100% success rate. We might be able to put it off for a few more years sometimes, but in the end, death is as it has always been. It's absolute and unstoppable. And it still grieves us as it did then. It might seem kind of obvious to put it like this, but death is so anti-life. You know what I mean? When everything that is good about life, it just comes to a crashing halt. Friendship and love and food and fun and celebration, all the things that a lot of us are going to be doing today, all the things that make life good, come to a crashing end at death. This is partly, I think, why we crave for something more and why we feel that it should not be the end. Death is so anti-life. But the fact remains that death is still an absolute reality. It was for Jesus and his friends just as much as it is for us. Of course, this is where the story of Lazarus and Jesus takes a remarkable turn. On this day, Mary and Martha and their friends, and even Lazarus himself, were going to learn something remarkably new and different about death. They're going to discover that there is a man who can give life to the dead. Like so many of us, Martha, the grieving sister of Lazarus, also had an idea about death that gave her hope. But on this day, Jesus changed everything she thought she knew. Have a look with me again at the hope that Martha had for her brother in verse 23 of John 11, verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." See, Martha had a hope that one day in the future, her brother would be raised to life again. And she wasn't wrong. But she was missing the key to that hope. As it turns out, the key to that hope was literally standing in front of her. Listen to what Jesus said to Martha in the very next verse, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" As I said, the big questions about life, the universe and everything have occupied the minds of almost every culture throughout history. We want to know the what, the why, the how. How can we find some kind of meaning or hope when the hugeness of the universe and time and death make us feel so small and insignificant? Maybe they're not the kind of questions you want to ask before breakfast, but they have always occupied the collective minds of humanity. But it turns out the real question is not about the what or the why or the how. It's not just a question for the philosophers or the Stephen Hawkings of this world. The real question, it turns out, is about who. Jesus is telling Martha that the hope for life, even in the face of death, the hope for a new, resurrected life, is not an idea. It's a person. Jesus. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. And so if that's true, if there is any hope, and we want to be a part of it, then that hope must be about Jesus. He is the one that we must look to. It's kind of like hoping to get a seat at the royal wedding. You know, I hear there's a royal wedding coming up next month, right, between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I don't know if there are any avid royal watchers or maybe closet monarchists among us. But suppose you were hoping to get a seat at the royal wedding. I've got some friends who I know would love nothing more than to be there. But it's one thing to hope, right? And you might come up with some wild and crazy plans about how you could make that happen. But if you know the Queen, if you're, you know, best buds with the Queen, then she has the power to make that happen. She can turn that hope into a reality. And that's what Jesus is claiming about himself, that he has the power to make new resurrected life a reality. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. It's a massive, massive claim. But Jesus is not in the business of making claims that he can't back up. He always puts his money where his mouth is. And that's exactly what he did that day in front of the tomb of his friend Lazarus. You can imagine, can't you, the commotion that Jesus would have caused when he told them to roll that massive stone away from the entrance to the tomb. A crowd had already begun to gather, and you can picture the look of shock on their faces and the nervous whispers among the crowd. What's he doing? This was not normal behaviour for a grieving friend, to say the least. But Jesus was no normal friend. If there was a commotion about moving the stone, imagine what must have been going through people's minds when Jesus spoke those three words into the mouth of that open tomb. And then when they saw their friend Lazarus, still wrapped up as they'd left him 4 days earlier, but now very much alive and walking out of the tomb. Three words is all it took. Lazarus, come out. Just like in the beginning of creation, God spoke and life began. So here, Jesus spoke and life was restored to a corpse. This was Jesus proving what he said to Martha, that he has the power to give life to the dead, that the hope for life beyond death is no fantasy where Jesus is involved. That hope is no longer a pipe dream. It's real. And that hope has a name. Jesus. That day by the tomb of Lazarus was a remarkable day. It was a day that caused many people to put their trust in Jesus. There is a man who has power to give life to the dead. That's a person you want to know. But today is Easter Sunday. We're not celebrating today the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus to life, as remarkable as that was. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus showed that he has that power to raise the dead, and he does. But at Easter, that we're celebrating today, Jesus did something even bigger. At Easter, Jesus dealt with the real problem of death, once and for all. See, death is more than just a physical problem. It's not just about the decay of our physical bodies. It certainly is a physical problem, but it's not just that. First and foremost, death is a spiritual problem. It's a problem between us and God. It's the consequence of turning our backs on our Creator, living the life he gives us, breathing the air he gives us, but trying to do that with God over there on the sidelines. This is true for every single one of us, and the Bible calls that sin. Sure, we might try to find a place for God, but that place is not on the throne where God belongs, because that's my seat. God gives us life and breath and everything else, but humans have declared independence from God, as King, as Lord. At best, perhaps we make him our advisor or our support staff, and we think he should be honoured to have any place in my life at all. But he is not, and he cannot and will not allow a godless humanity to live forever. And death is the consequence of that. God gives life, and he takes it away. Death is a spiritual problem, because we have separated ourselves from God and the life that God gives. It's the consequence of trying to live life independently of the life giver. And it can't go on forever. That's the real problem of death. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus is infinitely more significant than the miracle he did at the tomb of Lazarus that day. See, at Easter, Jesus solved the problem of death once and for all. Another one of Jesus' close friends was named Peter. And on that first Easter Sunday morning, Peter physically stood inside the tomb of Jesus. And he looked at where the body of Jesus had been lying, but was no longer there. And years later, Peter wrote about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and he said this. He said, "Christ died for sins once for all, to bring you to God." At Easter, Jesus was solving our spiritual problem. He died for our sin to remove that separation and bring us back to the Creator who gives life. And then he rose to life himself as the sign that the job was done. Jesus became the first to live a new kind of life, a life where death is no more. And he calls us to join him. He calls us to repent of our godless independence, to stop holding God at arm's length, and to trust that Jesus is our only hope. For a humanity that lives life in one long queue for the crematorium, Jesus is our only and our certain hope. Now, we don't see the fulfillment of that hope yet. We don't physically see the new life that Jesus will give. But his resurrection that we are celebrating today was the sign that it will come. One day, Jesus will call every single person who trusts him out of the grave, like he did to Lazarus, but this time it will be to join him in that new life. And what a life that will be, where God himself will live with us, and there will be nothing that is anti-life. No death or mourning or crying or pain. Only the unimaginable goodness of living with God forever. And everything that goes with that. Every good thing about life without the taint of sadness and death and pain. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," he was inviting us to join him in that life. It's open to all who put their trust in him. At Easter, Jesus shows that our hope for life beyond death is not a pipe dream. It is a real and certain hope. As real as Jesus was when he walked out of his own tomb. And so my question for all of us is, do you know that real and certain hope? If you don't, there is no better time to start than now. And it's not a hard question to answer, because that hope has a name, Jesus. Humanity has come up with all kinds of ideas to find hope in the face of death. But only one man has proven that he is that hope. So if you know Jesus, then you know that hope. If you trust Jesus, then you have that hope. Easter is a great time to stop and reflect on the most significant event in human history, where death was defeated. And it's a time to ask ourselves, do I want to be a part of that? It's my prayer that every single one of us here today will answer a resounding yes to that question and will know the hope of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do recognise that we, as corporate humanity and as individuals, live life with ourselves on the throne rather than you. And so we keep you at arm's length. And we perhaps do that in different ways. But Father, we are sorry for that. And we thank you so much that you loved us enough to not leave us as we were, to not leave us to our death, but that you loved us enough to send Jesus to restore us to yourself, to bring us back to you. And Father, we ask that you'll help each one of us here today to know with certainty that Jesus rose as the first of a new life for all who trust him. Father, help us to live with the confidence of that certainty, to know that we stand with you if we stand with Jesus, and that we look forward to a perfect eternal life with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.